ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Starting a new job can feel like your first day at school. New environment, new people, new systems. It can all be a little overwhelming, no matter how senior your position. But there are ways to make that transition easier and set you up for success. Hello, I'm Lisa Leong with ABC Radio National's This Working Life, helping to make your work life better. You can prepare for a new job ahead of time, and so can your employer. Let's get some best practice advice from both angles with our expert guests. Kate Flaherty is the National President of the Career Development Association of Australia, and she's also a counsellor and leadership coach. She's coming from the new employee side. Hi, Kate.
Hello.
Jonathan Wolfrey is the WA President of the Australian HR Institute and the Managing Partner at Talenting. He's going to tell us what organisations can do to set up a new hire for success. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Lisa.
All right, Kate. So let's say you've landed the job. What should you do ahead of your first day?
I think the obvious things are things that you would have done before your interview to just make sure that you understand the KPIs of the job and that you're, you know, really well set up from that position. If you've got your onboarding materials, just have a bit of a look through those. And also just be ready to sort of prepare yourself around how hard it's going to be for the first few weeks of the new job. I think that's the most important thing, that, you know, self-care when you start a new job is not a nice to have. It's an absolute essential, because you will be very tired. Just getting yourself prepared around having meals prepared and things like that before you start the job can be a good thing to do.
Kate, what if you've received nothing from the company? Should you reach out and sort of ask for things yet?
Yeah, I don't think there's any problem with asking, and I think it does show enthusiasm. You've got to be careful, obviously, not to be going down the hassling track. There's always that balance, reaching out, just wanted to check if there's anything, no pressure is a good idea.
Jonathan, what should the hiring manager have prepared ahead of someone's first day?
The first point of contact on the first day needs to be the best experience that we can make it for the employee, because that's where the relationship is really starting to form. Having everything ready from an equipment and technical perspective, as simple as that sounds, is often overlooked. There's nothing worse than someone coming in and not being able to log on to access what they need to and things like that. But also important, very first moment on that first day is meeting people, knowing the manager, understanding where the amenities are, and simple things like that, which are sometimes overlooked when we're really excited for someone to come and join us and get cracking with the work.
Okay, the first day is here. Kate, how important are first impressions?
Look, they are very important, but I also think that you need to acknowledge that it's not about that first day and all the energy into that day. It's setting yourself up for success down the track, so conserving your energy a little bit as well. But it is important to kind of look around, to observe who are the people with knowledge, who are the people that are going to be able to support you into the role. First impressions are important, so making sure that you've got that energy for that first day and that you're setting yourself up for the long term in the job.
Is it also useful to have some sort of pithy story about yourself that you can communicate to others as you're bumping into people on that first day, Kate?
Yeah, I think we call it positioning. So it's about positioning yourself and your value within the organisation early on. And because we, you know, generally in our culture kind of struggle with talking about ourselves or putting things into succinct words around the value that we add, it's good to focus on that and to think about what you might say, how you might position yourself without coming off as, you know, marketing yourself in that moment.
So I'm going to be a bit cheeky here, but what should we avoid to do at all costs on the first day?
I think it's really important to come across as curious, right? So on the first day, absolutely being curious. So asking questions like, I'd like to understand how this usually works, or what's the best way that this can be done, or if I was to jump into this, is there a context? But not coming across with confusion. So, oh, I'm confused, or I don't understand. I think it's really important to have those things ready to say. You know, we all feel vulnerable on our first day somewhere. It's a very big cognitive load. It's something we're not used to. It might be simply a different version of Outlook, for instance, and it can throw you, right? So it's really important not to be sharing too much of that confusion or vulnerability. It's okay to feel that, absolutely, to think about how you're going to reach out, but just being really careful about how you ask those questions.
Jonathan, from the employer's perspective, what do you think should happen on that first day?
To be honest, the employer wants the employee to come in and get into the job as soon as possible. But the first mistake that employers can make is expecting that to happen first minute, first day. In that first week, statistics that I've read across various polls or surveys that are done on new workers show that 44% of them have regrets or second thoughts within that first week. And up to 23% of people, according to a Bamboo HR study, cry in their first week as well. So I think employers really need to be aware of that when they're trying to get someone up to speed in their job. They need to really look at that safety, and that's physical safety, the belonging, the psychological safety, professional safety, information safety, confidentiality, really taking a focus on that so an employee feels comfortable and safe in that environment. I've also heard that up to half people find starting a new job just as confronting as going to the dentist, and we all know how much that means to people as well. So I think employers really need to take that long view, as Kate has said, and look at that first day, that first week in particular, as being a real safe and comfortable transition into that workplace.
It's interesting because I would say that, yes, sometimes that mindset is rather extractive, like I need you, all hands on deck, I need you to be working, whereas actually you're trying to sort of help them integrate on that first day. So what really helps someone not, you know, sort of end up in tears when they start a new job, Jonathan?
The manager in particular, which plays that key role as that person, the personal form, that new relationship with, really needs to own that process. As we've heard from Kate, the employee may want to prepare and share a little bit about themselves and really lead that conversation. But if I was a manager, I wouldn't leave it up to the employee to try and forge their way into a new team that has its own culture, that has its own norms and practices. Often I find that the hiring process is a bit like dating. The employment process is moving in together. So you find out where the reality doesn't live up to what your expectations are. So the manager is that key role. What I'd be focusing on with if I was that manager was really that how we form and how we get that person to feel belonging and feel part of the team as soon as possible. Sometimes it's best to go outside of the formal onboarding process and have a shadow colleague, someone you just ask those questions to. How do things happen around here? How do I order my lunch? I parked here. Is that okay? Am I going to annoy someone? Just that shadow, an employee that they feel connected to that probably isn't their manager in that instance, that can tell them how it really works around here.
What do you think about a formal buddy system, Jonathan?
Oh, absolutely. I think the formal buddy system where the employer knows that, recognises that and makes that connection, a relationship, but then lets that go down an informal pathway, dare I say, where the relationship forms and those questions get asked based on those two people and how they connect.
Kate, what are the expectations by the end of day one?
At the end of the first day, just being really kind to yourself. Okay, this is new. It's not going to feel comfortable. I'm going to come back tomorrow. I'm going to see how it goes. It's going to be a process. So after that first day, really thinking about that and then going in again that next day, just knowing that it's going to take time to build relationships. It's going to take time to understand processes. And I think if we've come from another organisation where we've been feeling really confident and competent, we've had a really nice team to connect with, then it can feel really kind of foreign to be in that new place. Or some people have come from a negative work experience in their previous role, and so they'll be feeling a little bit sort of suspicious for a while or a little bit tentative. So I think it's really just thinking to yourself, okay, all these feelings and thoughts are really natural. I'm going to be exhausted, but I will get my energy back and I will feel comfortable again.
Jonathan, from the employer's perspective, expectations by the end of day one?
Day one, I think we want the person coming back the next day because that doesn't always happen. It's rare, but we want the person coming back the next day. So rounding out that first day, we, you know, sometimes that first hour or two, if we're doing it right, we've got all the technology, we've got the equipment set up, we've created opportunities for them to connect and engage with the team. Circling back and connecting with the employee before they leave, asking how their first day was, what worked well, what didn't, what they can do for next day, looking forward to seeing you the next day, et cetera, and things like that. So I think that check-in at the end of the day, rather than just as 4:30 or whatever time a person goes home, is really important for the person. And you can even make a joke about it. You know, you're coming back the next day. Great, we've got through that first hurdle. Just normalizing and acknowledging the anxiety that does come with that day.
Kate, so it's our first week. We've met some people. We've done the training. We sort of across that job description. But now, yes, we are feeling quite tired, quite exhausted.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about this feeling of extreme tiredness from our first day, first week in a new job?
Yeah. I think we sometimes don't think about that cognitive load that we have in learning something new. We forget that as we get older, it takes that amount of energy. And I think that from talking to clients, when you're used to one system and there's a slightly different system, it's like going from a PC to a Mac, everything seems a bit similar but different, and it can really kind of throw you. So I think for me, it's all about normalizing that reaction, normalizing that that's the way that you will feel. So sort of preempting and saying, I'm going to be feeling really, really tired. Engage people around you that can give you a bit of support. Also make sure that meals are easy, that you're not putting the same expectations on yourself or putting too many social engagements in that first week.
And what if we're feeling anxious or overwhelmed? Because sometimes it's the fire hose situation with the amount of information coming our way.
Yeah. I think too, just to notice that there's a lot of study into the science of safety now and how our nervous systems respond to new and unknown situations. So if you think about it from a physiological point of view and acknowledge that a little bit of anxiety is a natural body response to a new situation because you don't know that you're safe yet. I know we do talk a lot more about psychosocial safety in the workplace. So it sounds dramatic to call it safety, but you know, when you just feel comfortable, when you know where you stand, when you know where you are in the relationships and you're on top of your work, that's kind of that feeling of just feeling relaxed and safe. And if you're not in that place, your nervous system can be quite activated, which feels like anxiety. So using a lot of those techniques that we'd use just to relax the nervous system of deep breathing, of using cold water, of getting up and walking around, getting outside the building, taking some deep breaths, making sure that you have kind people to talk to, but also really to acknowledge this is a very normal, natural thing to be feeling and it will pass. Like, you know, when we have really great feelings, they also pass. This will pass. And I'd also say that just be aware of, do you have an employee assistance program in the organisation? How do you access them? Oftentimes people don't know about employee assistance, but employee assistance programs are engaged by the organisation to provide counselling, and then they have lots of other things. Some EAPs have nutrition support, financial support, they have career coaching. So reaching out to your EAP just to get even some coaching through that first 90 days can be good.
Jonathan, what would you hope a new hire would have done or learnt by the end of that first week?
I think from an employer perspective, it would be good, and I would encourage employers to do this, to find a quick win for that employee to achieve in their first week. Even better if it's visible to the broader team, just so they start to develop that confidence early that they're not feeling useless or unable to contribute. A good employer should probably create the opportunity for a new hire, a new employee, to actually deliver something preferably that's visible, that starts to build their confidence and leaves them entering into a weekend, if they're a full-time worker, with, yeah, I achieved something this week. Because it's very hard to feel that you've made a contribution in your first week. If we can create that feeling, it does help build that relationship.
And Jonathan, how should the hiring manager handle the conversation around working styles? I mean, it could be that you've hired someone who is neurodivergent, for example.
I find that it's best in that first week in particular, where it makes all the difference, is to come in, say, look, observe what we do. This is what we traditionally do in this workplace. But hey, we're open to two things. We're open to new ideas. We like the fact that people bring in new ideas from different employers in regards to how we structure and support people in our work and what our working styles might be. But hey, you know yourself better than we do. Is there anything that we can do and offer you to support you do your best work? Because that's what we're all after in this workplace. So I think you don't have to invent it. I think a person knows themselves and how they work best, you know, without us trying to guess what that is. Just ask. Ask if there's any accommodations and support that we need to provide. And then go about and look at thinking about whether or not that's possible.
You're listening to This Working Life on ABC Radio National. I'm Lisa Leong. My guests are Jonathan Wolfrey, Managing Partner at Talenting, and Leadership Coach and Counsellor Kate Flaherty. Later, how to integrate and connect with your new team when you want to keep your personal life private. On LinkedIn, we ask for your tips on starting a new job. Here's Steve.
My tips for starting a new job is, firstly, I found it really helpful to listen, ask questions, and taking the time to learn the landscape before jumping in. Also, building relationships early makes a big difference, as credibility often comes from connection. Getting clear on what's expected and the key priorities to focus on in the first 30 to 90 days help sets us up for success. And lastly, taking the time to understand what's worked before, what hasn't, and why can also save a lot of rework later on down the track.
Jonathan, have you received much feedback from hiring managers or employers about new recruits who come in and have a whole bunch of ideas about what you're doing wrong and how you could be doing it better?
Yes. There are plenty of people that come into the workplace that, you know, have experiences elsewhere and think that the way things are done around here are not quite right. They should be significantly different. So a new employee coming in may have all these changes. Look, managers need to test themselves against, no, we tried that 10 years ago and it didn't work, so it'll never work again. Versus, look, we like that, we accept it, we know that that does sound like a good idea. Let's see how it goes. Let's see how you settle into your role and revisit that, or be open to it from the get-go. But often there is a whole pile of context that sits behind the way things are done around here, that old notion of culture. And it takes a little bit of time to understand, okay, I know why we do that way now. It makes sense.
Now, if your organisation has a performance management process, Jonathan, when are we introducing that?
It should be introduced, I would say, in that first week, not in regards to being formal in regards to what we're expecting to see at that particular point in time. But I believe that a new employee will want to see that and want clarity of expectation as early as possible and know when those key milestones are throughout their journey, particularly in that first 6 to 12 months, which often overlaps with a commonly known process known as probation as well. So that is the first introduction to what we usually see in a workplace as performance management, is that probation process, a unique and specific type of performance management process. So it'd be good to set those expectations early. Normally it's in the contract of employment. So people want to know what that looks like in reality and what support that they can receive along the way.
What if things aren't working out? You're talking about probation period. There's some wobbles. How much is the hiring manager giving feedback on that?
The actual notion of probation does exist to know that the reality doesn't meet the expectations sometimes, and that needs to be acknowledged. Both the employer or the employee cannot live up to what they, in their with best intentions, put forward as part of that hiring process. So I think it works best when there's real clarity of expectation on both sides, clarity from the employer about, okay, this is what we expect, this is by when, yes, of course, support a worker to and or an employee to get to that level. And similar from the employee, they come in, they often want, you know, some development. They often want to know when the training is, when they're going to be able to hit milestones or get involved in different work as well. It would be good to know that as early in the working relationship as possible, just so if we need to say, look, this is not working out, it doesn't come as a surprise to either party, and we're willing to go in different directions if that is the worst case scenario.
Kate, what if you as the new employee find things are not as you expected?
Yeah, I think this does happen quite a lot, and I think it's like teasing out, is this because I'm new in the role or I'm feeling at sea, or does this not work for me? But I think being quite transparent in that first little while and making sure that you have a conversation with the manager, because it's a two-way thing, that probation. It's like, you know, you can actually leave within that period as well. So it's like really asking questions of the manager, talking to them about what's working and what's not and whether this is a good fit for you. But I would really, really stress not to jump into thinking that it's not for you early. But also there are people that kind of stay beyond the time that it's working for them because they just don't want to give up. You know, they just want to stick with it. We have to think about, you know, what's the effect that that has on you if you just keep trying and trying and trying and it's not working for you and you know it's not working for the organisation, and how that has that really negative effect on you over time.
Okay, we had this question from listener Luke. He writes, I have recently started a new job with a new organisation and I would be keen to hear how to be a team player without sharing any personal information with the new team. I never mix my working and personal life together, but I want to be seen as one of the team. So, Kate, if you're new, you don't want to get personal, how do you integrate yourself within a team?
Right. Well, I think firstly to acknowledge that distance doesn't equal disengagement. So you can actually be, you know, there's a whole range of different personalities within a workplace. And so you can be a little bit more removed. But at the same time, if you are one of those kinds of people, like say if you're quite introverted, then you're not ready to engage on a personal level for quite some time, or if at all, then having some sort of scripted stuff is good. Are you willing to talk about what kind of dog you have? are there other people in the place with dogs? You know, things like that. So think about the things. What am I prepared to talk about? What would I feel comfortable with? What would I like to say about that? And just having that ready to go so that when someone asks a question, instead of being thrown and sort of jumping back or jumping in, you can say, oh, yes, my favourite thing to do on the weekend is kayaking, but you know that's what you want to talk about. You're not just having to grab something at the moment. You know, yes, I do want to talk about this, but no, I don't want to talk about that. So it's very important to do that just to make sure that you can really keep your boundaries very firm, but also appear to be like you're not aloof, like you're not rejecting that person's question. And often that does happen, that when people will perceive distance as rejection or disengagement. But if you can just have a few of those ready responses, that can really help in those first few months.
We ask our guests every week to leave us with a tip that this working lifers can try for themselves, and we call it Try This. Jonathan, what's your tip for hiring managers listening to set up a new employee for success?
Help them feel that sense of belonging from the get-go. Understand that cognitive diversity is very important in our team and we want to welcome that, and enable the person to be the best version of themselves.
Kate, what's your final piece of advice for people starting a new role and something that they can try to make it easier and more successful?
Sure. I think it's know yourself, know what you want to contribute, know what you want to gain, have really good boundaries. If you know yourself, then talk about, I work best this way, without saying, oh, I can't do that. So having that all ready to go when you go in.
Thank you so much, both of you.
You're welcome.
My pleasure.
Kate Flaherty is the National President of the Career Development Association of Australia and a career coach and counsellor. And Jonathan Wolfrey is the WA President of the Australian HR Institute and the Managing Partner at Talenting. Let's hear some more advice from Steve before we wrap up.
Traps to watch out for when starting a new role is trying to prove your value too quickly without enough context. Also assuming that what worked in a previous role will automatically work the same way in the new role. Another trap is overcommitting early and then finding it hard to reset expectations. And finally, holding back from asking for feedback early on out of fear of appearing less confident. In my experience overall, the strongest starts tend to be steady and thoughtful rather than fast and flashy.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for listening to ABC Radio National's This Working Life. It was produced by Michelle Weeks and engineered by Ross Richardson on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. If you like what you heard, subscribe to our podcast, share it with a colleague or a friend. You can do that on the ABC Listen app or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. I'm Lisa Leong. Until next time, love your work.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.